brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. If any of you out there would like to comment on last night's debate with Frank from Colorado, I'd like to get some input. Frank believed that the Earth is billions of years old. He has a science background. He's read some books. And he's a Christian, but he thinks the Earth is billions of years old. And I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And the only science background I have is I took general science in high school. That's all I could think of right off the top of my head. And read a number of books since I got out of government school, where I actually learned things. But so I'd like to know what you thought about the debate. And also, if anybody out there tuning in had attended the seminar in Indianapolis, I'd love to get some feedback, hear from you. So 1-800-8-ENYART, that's 1-800-836-9278. I wanted to get to the comments by a sheriff here in the Denver area, Grayson Robinson, Arapahoe County Sheriff, when a guy got into a bed. Well, a guy was out drinking with friends, and then he was wandering the neighborhood where his friend lives, and he had been drinking, and he opened a window in a home and entered a home and went to a bedroom where a 9-year-old girl was sleeping, and he completely disrobed. His name is Eric O'Connell. He's 22 years old. He disrobed and he got into bed with the girl. And thankfully, the family pet, the dog, started barking like crazy. And so the father got up, went into the girl's bedroom, sees this guy, wrestles the guy while the wife calls 911. The police get there and they arrest this pervert jerk. Criminal, fool. They arrest him. And so then Grayson Robinson, the sheriff in Arapahoe County, he has a couple quotes in our Rocky Mountain News, and he says that the father was able to restrain him. I give credit to the father for restraining him and not causing any injuries. So he makes two comments that I want to discuss, and that's one. I give credit to the father for restraining him and not causing any injuries. Well, if there's a crime going on, especially a serious crime in your home where you have an intruder and it's nighttime, if you could restrain the person without injuring the person, well, then fine. But that's not something that our governing officials should elevate as, you know, the important thing to point out when a crime like has been thwarted. It's counterproductive. You don't want people to think, well, there's somebody in my home and it's nighttime and it's an intruder, it's a criminal, and I have to do everything I can to make sure I don't injure the guy. Remember in California 2 weeks ago, the two teenage girls that were kidnapped? And from all accounts, they were within minutes of being killed. The kidnapper, rapist kidnapper, had brought him out, and the girls were going to be killed. And thankfully, because of their program in California where they put information about a wanted suspect on billboards on the highway, you know, instantaneously, electronically, somebody saw the guy's van, called the police. Report at the van, police show up, and there's a shootout? Is that how it came down? And they shot and killed the guy, and the two girls were safe. And just a couple minutes later, and they could have been dead. And the governor of California, Gray Davis, he said, well, we're so glad that the girls are safe, and we're doing an investigation, and hopefully everything will turn out fine. What did that mean? This is a time for celebration. This is a celebration. The lives of these two victims were spared. The police should be rewarded and celebrated, thanked just profusely. And the governor is bringing up this backhanded insult toward the cops. Look, we're going to look into this, and we're going to grill you guys on this. And if we could find a way to punish you for shooting this guy, we're going to punish you. That's basically, that was reading between the lines, what he was saying. Because liberals, they just go to no end to try to spare the criminal, to no end. And that's the bad attitude. That's the wrong priority. If there's someone in your home and you and your family are threatened, and in the process of dealing with the intruder, someone is in your home at night. You and your family are threatened. And you take a baseball bat and you swing and hit him in the head and kill him. God says in the Bible that you are not guilty of a crime. Now that's if there's a threat. If it's your neighbor kid and you see the neighbor kid, and even it is at night, but you see what's going on. He's trying to steal your wallet. You catch him. He's running out the door. You don't have the right to injure him. But there's somebody in bed with your daughter. And if you don't need to injure the criminal, then you shouldn't injure him. But our governing officials elevate the care and gentle treatment of violent criminals. They elevate it as though it's a national goal. And then the second thing Grayson Robinson said was this. Well, let's see here. Deputies arrived a short time later and arrested the man without incident. Grayson Robinson, the sheriff of Arapahoe County, said the man was intoxicated, but, quote, the level of intoxication gives no justification for what this person did. Now, do you see why we like to look at the things our governing officials say and actually listen to what they're saying? He's basically encouraging other crimes to occur. The level of intoxication gives no justification for what this person did. No level of intoxication ever gives any justification for any crime, let alone something this despicable. No level of intoxication gives justification for any crime. And that kind of attitude, it just shows how messed up Grayson Robinson is. His mindset, how could those words slip out of his mouth? So if somebody wants to commit a crime, and this has been done plenty of times in America, you just get a little drunk and you commit the crime, and then either you get off completely or they go easy on you. Hey, this is a live commercial break, and you are listening to listener-supported radio. Bob and Yurt Live, airing in a handful of cities around the country and on the web at kgov.com. If you enjoy the program, then please take down this number. This is our order line, and you could use it to order our materials, which, of course, helps us to stay on the air, or to support us with an automatic monthly contribution of whatever you could afford, $25. $50, $100. If you can do that, boy, we would be just thrilled because we cannot single-handedly afford the airtime to be on in the cities that we're on. Our phone number is 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-836-9278. Also, if you live out of Colorado, well, there's a way for you to participate with Denver Bible Church. If you live in the Denver area, now we've got people who come to church from Castle Rock, Colorado Springs, in the foothills, up north as far as Loveland on occasion. But if you're in the Denver area, you could come and visit Denver Bible Church. Look us up on the web. We've got a map. Tells you how to get there from the north, the south, the east. And then it says from hell, you can't get here from there. But any other direction, you could get to Denver Bible Church. from any other place of origin. So Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, we have a great time. This Sunday night, we're taking off for Memorial Day. We're going to go protest an abortionist. But if you're outside of Colorado, denverbiblechurch.org, or call us up, order the sermons on tape, and we'll be waiting for your call. Hey, hello to everyone listening on the web, listening to kgov.com. Bob and Aaron live on KGov. Hey, thanks for tuning in, and it's enjoyable to have you guys out there. And we're so close to our goal to cover our annual bill for our hosting service. We use Interland to host kgov.com and our other sites like shadowgov.com. Have you checked out shadowgov with the material on there about how to deal with the terrorist threat? And then also at the bottom of that page, there's a link to a constitution. It's a secret link. Well, it's not exactly secret, but we keep it a little reserved. It's pretty interesting. You might want to check out the Constitution. Welcome back. Bob and Yurt Live. We are going to go to the phones. We'll go to the phones. And so if you have any comments on the debate last night with Frank on the age of the earth, I'd be interested to hear. And also on the seminar in Indianapolis, Does God Exist? You could call us at 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right. In Lakewood, Colorado, Eric, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, fine. I've been listening to your show for a while now.
Yeah.
And I like what your show is about, and I tend to agree with most of the things you talk about.
Cool.
One thing I haven't heard you mention much of, and not much many people do, is now you would agree that we have a pretty evil government right now.
Very evil.
Okay. And you know that sometimes evil governments have to be thwarted.
Thwarted? How so do you mean?
Overthrown, rebelled against.
Well, those are two different things. And so which of those things would you like to start out talking about?
We'll just talk about rebelled against.
Okay. The Bible has a rich body of material that shows great men of faith disobeyed the governing authorities. They disobeyed them so that they could obey God instead. So when the government tells you to do something that's contrary to the will of God, contrary to Scripture, what God reveals in the Bible, then you should disobey the government to obey God. And the Bible calls people who do that great men and women of faith. So you agree with all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if the government tells you you should have an abortion or you should not love your neighbor, you should disobey the government and obey God.
Okay.
All right.
Now, on the other hand, at what point, if any, as Christians, should we attempt to overthrow the government because of its evilness?
Okay, it's wickedness.
Like an example of perhaps, you know, the Revolutionary War, where they revolted against England and became independent.
I'm real glad that our American forefathers established this as a separate nation. But I don't call it the Revolutionary War. I'm one of those Christian right-wing conservatives. If you read a great book called Leftism Revisited, you'll learn a bit about this by Erich von Kuhnelt-Leden. I think he's an Austrian economist. I call it our War of Independence. And there's a big distinction. You know, many of our founding fathers, we went through our War of Independence, and we won our independence from Britain. Most of our founding fathers saw what the French were doing in 1789. They were having this despicable revolutionary war where the people rose up and slaughtered their governing officials so that they could establish a new government. and most of our governing officials utterly condemned France. The most evil of our founding fathers supported what France was doing, like, for example, Thomas Jefferson, who hated Jesus Christ and was a pretty bad liberal. But the difference between the two is the difference between right and wrong. In the book of Acts, God says that the times and the boundaries of nations are real things. Nations are real things. They're not arbitrary. Just like a family. You know, liberals want to say that they could define what a family is. Two men and a dog, to a liberal, that's a family. That should be recognized by the government as a marriage. Which of the three are married, who knows? But that's to a liberal. But God has defined the family, and the boundaries of what a family is are defined by God. And so we should recognize families just like we should recognize nations. And when the liberals get into Europe after World War I and they see Slovakia and the Czech Republic and they say, well, this would be more convenient if we put these two together, and they make Czechoslovakia. Well, you can't just do that. And they say that their national language was Czechoslovakian. There's no such language. But to liberals, the borders of nations don't matter. So anyway, eventually Czechoslovakia broke up because it was unnatural together. Now, when England, certain men from England, from throughout Europe, Italy, France, Germany, the Netherlands, they came over to this country and they established colonies, and the countries in Europe, they laid claim to these colonies, as you might expect that to happen. But over a course of a century or so, this new land grew up and it obtained its own identity. It had its own natural geographic borders. It established its own culture, its own governance. It had its own religious flair. It was developing practically its own language, distinct from the nations that settled this land. And so what England should have realized is they had a child, and the child grew up, and the child was weaned, and the child had gone through puberty, and now the child was ready to go off on his own and be independent. Just like a family, God establishes a father, a mother, they have kids. Well, when the kids grow up, if the parents try to control the child after he's an adult, then they're asking for trouble, because that's not right. Once the child is an adult, he could freely submit to the parents, but he has the right to exert his independence. And the same thing with nations. So that we had a right to exert our independence because we truly had grown into a separate and distinct nation. Whereas if you're part of a government and the government is evil, do you have the right to take up arms and kill the governing authorities? Well, the answer is no. God does not delegate to the individual the authority to usurp power over the government. If you were to do that, the government that would result would undoubtedly be evil, and very evil, in a very short period of time, if not immediately. So God does not authorize the individuals, like when the Roman Empire was in force, in power, the Christians didn't have the right to sneak into the palace and slit the emperor's throat because he was evil. They didn't have that right, and we Americans don't have the right to destroy our government by force because it's evil. And then the government we would institute in its place would have taken power by violence. Violence is okay if it's authorized in the authority structure that flows from God. But if your violence is not authorized, you're out on your own authority, then it's wrong. So that's my response. We could resist the government whenever it tells us to do evil, and we could play by the government's rules to try to undermine the government. That's what we do at KGov.com. We try to undermine the government playing by the rules because we have an evil government. And in one day, our government will collapse of its own wickedness.
Okay.
So, but should we take up arms and overthrow the government? No. Even in Israel, when King David was appointed by God as the next duly authorized leader of the nation, and although he had plenty of opportunity to use force to kill King Saul, who was terribly wicked, he restrained himself. He submitted to the governing authorities, except to the point that they wanted to kill him, and he was on the run. So he would disobey them in order to obey God, i.e. not commit suicide by turning himself into King Saul, but he would not use force to speed up the transition of government from Saul to himself. And, you know, God really loved David, Eric. David was a man after God's own heart. Even though he had committed such terrible sins, he was repentant and humble. And God really liked that about him. So that's, you know, I'm sorry it's a bit long-winded, but it takes a while to address that topic.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah. Do you have an instant response, or would you like us to get your number and later in the week think it through, and then we'll have some give and take? Which would you rather do?
Well, it's not really an instant response, but I guess this would be another alternative.
Yeah.
What would your response be to possibly setting up a new government somewhere else?
Well, like outside of the country?
Where, I don't know, wherever.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're...
Wherever, inside,
you're,
outside, right. Madagascar, who knows?
You're saying that you are so utterly disgusted with our government you'd like to escape,
I have children,
if at all possible.
I just can't stand the thinking of how they're going to grow up in this.
Yeah.
10 years from now.
Yeah, right. 10 years ago, it wasn't nearly as bad as it is. It's getting steadily worse because we have, you know, we have a democracy wherein the people elect most of our officials. They even vote on the laws and the initiatives and the propositions that are on the ballot. And so because the majority want to lie, steal, murder, and fornicate, then that's what our government promotes, and that's what our society has become. So it's very, very difficult to raise children in this environment. That's why at Denver Bible Church, we're going to spend the whole month of September talking about how to raise kids in today's godless culture. In Sunday school and in the sermons, we'll address that too during September. So, hey, Eric, where are you going to go?
I don't know.
Anywhere you go. I mean, the whole world, most of the world is way more socialist or communist than America is.
Right. Well, that's why I talk about setting up a... But see, the thing is with going somewhere and trying to establish another country,
yeah,
you're going to have to overthrow somebody.
Yeah, that's
you're
not
gonna have
right.
You have to kick somebody out.
Well, that's not right. You'd have
just
to...
like when the settlers came over here, they kicked the Indians out.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the history of the world, and it's a mess. The history of the world is one of violence, and the Indians killed the other Indians.
Right.
You know, and on Hawaii, the descendants of King Kamehameha, whatever the guy's name is, they want Hawaii back. And they said that Hawaii belongs to us. But the problem is King Kamehameha, he murdered all kinds of people on the islands so he could be the king. So it's a real mess, the history of the world. Hey, Bob and Yurt Live, and I'd like to tell you about the plot. I'd like to tell you about the plot. Now, we're selling more plots these days, and we're so thrilled that we are. The plot is my life's work, and... Well, it's about 330 pages, an overview of the whole Bible, and it's the remedy for the common Christian approach where you become a Christian, or even you might grow up as a Christian in Sunday school and all, and you never really get around to getting an overview of the whole Bible. You just dig right in. Let's say you become a Christian, you're going to a church, and pretty soon there's a debate on should you speak in tongues. And so there's about 30, 40 different Bible verses that people throw back and forth at each other, whether you have to speak in tongues, you should speak in tongues, you shouldn't speak in tongues. And so you try to become an expert on that topic because everybody's debating it. And then there's, can you lose your salvation or not? And so there's maybe 60 verses on that topic that people throw back and forth, the different sides, the proof text and the problem text. And so you dig into that issue. Or is there a rapture or is there not? And on, there's so many of these details. These issues, we could call them details. These are the details. Because the Bible has a plot. I don't mean the theme of the Bible. The theme of the Bible being that God loves mankind and wants to redeem us. He wants to redeem those who are who humbly repent and trust him. That's the theme of the Bible. But I mean the plot, P-L-O-T. What's the plot? What does that mean? We have a translation of the plot in Spanish. In Espanol, it's titled La Trama. If you know somebody who speaks Spanish, reads Spanish, you call up 1-888-8-N-Y-A-R-T and order La Trama for them. That'd be fun. Give that to somebody, a Spanish Christian, or even a Hispanic unbeliever. Maybe they'll read it and get saved. But the plot is the storyline. What is the storyline of the Bible? And how about the consistency or lack thereof of the major storyline between the Old and New Testament, and between the four Gospels and the book of Acts and the epistles? Why do certain parts of the Bible, why are they so different, their characteristics, than other parts? So call up, order the plot, and celebrate. One 800 8 N Y A R T 1-800-836-9278. So later in the week, we may call Eric back, and as he processes our conversation, and he might have then a follow-up. And we've got somebody in Denver with an instant message to us at kgovlive@aol.com wanting to know how early on Sunday morning does Denver Bible Church meet. Well, Sunday school is 9:30. And the service starts at 10 minutes to 11. So there we go. All right. Hey, let's go to the phone. And two calls from Indiana. We'll take one after the other. First in Mishawaka, then in Muncie. So Mishawaka, Indiana. Rich, speak your mind.
Yeah, hi, Bob.
Hello, sir.
Hey, I got a question and probably won't take you so long to answer.
All right.
I wanted to talk about the relevance between the story where the servants worked all day long,
yeah,
and then someone, the servant, started at 11 o'clock, and
right,
they both got a nickel 98 or whatever.
Yeah, right. Jesus said that some guys got, say, $5 an hour, and other guys got $40 an hour, and that was perfectly fine for doing the same kind of work. Jesus said it was perfectly fine because it's my money, he said, and isn't it lawful for me to do with my money what I would like to do? And why should you be bitter or envious because I'm good to these other workers?
Okay.
So go ahead.
Just a little bit different. What would the relevance be for someone like at work today? Some guy was complaining that he had to do 20 units and because he's real fast. And
yeah,
the other guy on the other side of the line needed help to get 20 units, so basically he did 10 units or whatever.
Right.
And I says, well, you know, you're getting paid your wage, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about what the other guy is doing.
That's exactly right.
But, of course,
right,
the flesh kind of gets mad.
Whose flesh got mad?
His flesh got mad because he was doing 20.
Well, Rich, that's sad. You know, that tells us something about him.
Right.
And he has to live with himself. And hopefully, for his sake, he will mature. He'll grow up. When I've had jobs where it's manual labor, you know, I'm sort of clumsy. I'm not good at changing the oil. It takes me way longer than the normal person. But I try to work as fast and as hard as I could. And my goal at a job is to make my boss a success. I want to make my boss a success so that he could move up and he'll want me to move up with him. And if somebody is making way more money than I am, throughout the years I worked in corporations and in other companies, I was always happy when people were making more than me because that told me that there was room for me to move up. If I'm making the same as everybody else or more, it's a lot harder for me to get a big raise. And so if the boss is going to pay some people way more, great. It gives me more motivation to work even harder, and hopefully I'll get a raise. And if not, I'm not going to be bitter because my coworker is making more money. Good for him. I'm glad he's making money.
Well, I heard the show that you were talking about that. But, of course, this is, you know, we're both making the same money.
Yeah.
And the other guy on the other side is making the same money.
Right.
And he's just mad because he sweats, you know. And
yeah.
The other guy, actually, you know, I was helping the other guy, the slow guy today.
Yeah.
And I kind of said something, but, you know, I wanted what your take was on it because I'm going to have a chance to go out with my buddy mm-hmm. who was mad. Out on the road for 5 or 6 months.
Oh.
And I do plan on getting the plot so I can read it while I'm off there.
Hey, that sounds
and
cool, Rich.
I'll be able to witness to him and everything, you know.
Hey, I'm sure. Hey, Rich, I don't know how we actually find the time to do it, but one of the things we've done for many years, it doesn't take a lot of the time we have here at Bob and Yurt Live, but we do consulting for businesses. And we've done for a medical equipment manufacturer here in Denver, an airplane machinist company out in California, where we do business consulting. Because if you understand the Bible, you then know how human beings function, how they should function. You know what's ethical, what's right, what's moral, how to motivate people properly. And so some businesses, they might not be inclined to make a donation, but they say, hey, we'd like, you know, could Bob come and give a presentation to our employees or spend time once a month with the CEO doing some business consulting? And we do that. And not only me, but Christians, good Christian pastors should be called upon by the business community to give advice on employee relations and how to attract customers and what is immoral or unethical. But, of course, you need to do that with a good Christian pastor.
Yeah. You know, what the shame is where I work is the plant supervisor says he's a Christian. And he just does not – he runs it like he's in the Army or the Marines or something. And the attitude of the workers gets down all the time because he says, we're going to – get our numbers no matter what and make us work overtime. And right. I mean, it just, you know, he's supposed to be a Christian. You'd think that he would have some kind of understanding how to motivate positively instead of
like
using a whip.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, the whip is appropriate occasionally, but if your only management style is to threaten to fire people,
yeah,
you know, that's not good. You're not going to get the best out of your people if that's the best you can manage.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Last week we had a number to get. He came out in the morning meeting and basically said, if you don't like it, there's a door, you know, yada, yada.
Right.
And we got barely half of what we were supposed to get.
Of what he said. Because,
yeah.
You know what, after a while, when you get threatened to get they threaten to fire you for the 18th time, it doesn't mean much. It just doesn't mean much.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking of one company in particular right now. But all right. Hey, Rich.
Okay.
Keep us informed, right?
Okay, I will. Looking forward to getting the plot.
All right. If you get that, I want you to drop me a line. Let me know what you think.
Oh, I will.
God bless you, Rich.
You too.
Thank you. Bye. Now in Muncie, Indiana, Kirk, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. Is it the seminar? Just wanted to pass along some comments. I thought it was a great turnout, and the seminar was just jam-packed with information.
Uh-huh.
And And I really enjoyed was meeting some people I had corresponded with online and people I'd heard of, like your mom and Jason Troyer. It was really nice meeting them. And that's the great thing about going to a seminar like
that. That's right. Connie Enyart Sharon. My mom is married to my stepdad, Pops, Albert Sharon. And so you got to meet Connie. And then Theology Online, there's so many Christians all around the country that know each other just by their handles on the web. And so you found out some of them were real people.
Or Robert Brown, who's in the Bob Enyart Live Mail Group. And I believe he contributed a computer to him or something. We spent a long time talking. And
He sure did.
Great guy.
And because of the seminar now, Robert Brown is getting set up. He and I are working out details that he's going to do work for us. For KGov, even though he lives in Syracuse, New York.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, we're very excited.
Well, was a video being made at the seminar? Was that what the cameras were for?
Well, yeah, that's our goal, to put together two separate videos, a total of 2 hours each, 4 hours out of the six-hour seminar. So we'll see how that goes. It's going to take a lot of work now, called post-production work, to actually get it together.
I think that should be a bestseller for anybody interested in, Christian apologetics and proving the existence of God. I mean, there's so much information. I wish I'd taken notes. There's a woman from the University of Indianapolis sitting next to me. I almost asked her if I could, get a copy of her notes. But is there any chance of a syllabus or notes being put
well,
together?
Well, we actually have been discussing that, and what we might do is with the videos include a brochure. Maybe a 30, 40-page pamphlet or flyer that goes through highlights of the notes.
Because I've got a lot of videos and tapes, but what I use the most is the God's Criminal Justice System seminar syllabus and the articles from the article pack. I probably reference those up to two or three times a week when I'm debating online. I mean, it's just,
all right, Kirk.
It's just it's a great resource.
All right.
And this would be even better, because I'm probably familiar with 25% of the seminar, but most of it, there was a lot of new information, and I'd love to study it.
It was basically 6 hours of nonstop evidence for the existence of God and the validity of the Bible. And the evidence came from all walks of life.
Yeah.
Not just, it's really fun. And, of course, it took years to assemble all those arguments and all that evidence. Kirk, did you – I don't want to put you on the spot here. Did you hear the debate last night with Frank from Colorado?
Yeah, I agree. It went a lot like the other debates you've had along these lines.
It was so funny. Frank says that he's got a science background. He said he was a geophysical research scientist, but he's retired. I think he retired young because he was disabled or something. So anyway – and I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I don't know anything about science except what I've read in books on my own. And why should it be that the debate should be a slaughter? He believes the earth is billions of years old, isn't it? Why isn't there any evidence? We'll be right back. Hey, Bob Enyart here, and our phone number to order the plot or any of our other materials is 1-888-836-9278. So we got the idea that the plot is the overview, the big picture, which is the key to the details in the Bible. That's the key. If you want to understand the details, if you want to be fluent in the different topics that are addressed in the Bible, you cannot accomplish that without a strong overview of the whole book. So you can do that on your own. There's no way in the world you need Bob Enyart Live. You don't need the plot manuscript. You don't need me. But you could do it on your own. But there's a reason that God has appointed teachers in the body of Christ, because it takes a lot of work. And I was able to spend 25 years because of my careers where I spent a lot of my time studying the Bible. And a quarter century of research went into putting together an overview of the whole Bible, an overview designed specifically to then give people the foundation upon which they could study and read the rest of it for themselves. And the people who work here in our studio, at our Bob and Your Life, Headquarters, they all, you know, we have such a good time. We go out for lunch and we talk about the comments that we heard that day, the emails, the phone calls, the letters, people saying, finally, after 40 years, I can understand the Bible. For 40 years, I read the Bible. I went to Sunday school, went to Bible studies. I never got it. And now I get it. Thank you so much. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're thrilled. And that's why we offer a money-back guarantee on the plot. I think in, what, 4 years, 5 years of selling the plot, we've sold thousands of copies. How many times do we give money back? I think we've, if I guess I'll be wrong, but I'm sure five times, less than five times. In the past year, I can remember one time in the past year. And, you know, if somebody gets the plot, reads it, and doesn't think they learned much, wasn't very helpful, then let us know, and we'll be extremely happy to give you your money back because we have our own reputation to uphold and our reputation before God. So call 1-888-8NYR, order the plot, and enjoy it. We're going to go to the phones, first Colorado and then New York. In Aurora, Colorado, Keisha, speak your mind.
Hi.
Hello.
I have a comment about the debate last night.
Yes, Keisha.
I just don't see how you can be a Christian and believe that the earth is billions of years old.
All right. Tell me why you say that. You and I agree, then, that the earth is very young. But tell me why you say that.
Well, because it's clear in the book of Genesis that if you look at the genealogies and stuff like that,
right,
and you calculate it, it'll come to about 6,000-7,000 years.
Yeah. Now, and there's some we can't. It appears that we cannot be exact because there are some which seem to be small gaps, and there are some places where you just can't quite connect the dots on the chronology of the Bible. But overall, it presents an unbroken timeline from the creation of Adam, giving us the ages of people and how old they were when they had kids and how old they lived afterward. And that brings us into the time of the Exodus with Moses. That brings us to the time of Joshua and the judges. And we have the approximations of how long they ruled. And that brings us to the monarchy in Israel with King Saul. And we know the year, even from the Bible and from secular history, we know the year. We have a very good estimation of when David established his throne in Jerusalem, which was almost exactly 3,000 years ago. It's what, 3,004 years ago this year. And then from the time of David to Christ, we know that was 1,000 years. And we know Christ lived and died about 2,000 years ago. So we have the history of the world with Noah's flood interrupting things, and about 1,600 years after Adam was created, Noah's flood hit, and so that disrupted things. So you go back in the Old Testament, you got about 2,400, 2,500 years before Christ, and that's about as far back as you can get. So the human race has been here about 4,500 years. That's according to the Bible. And just, what is it, a coincidence that that's about the extent of recorded human history? That's about the extent of, that's about how far back we can get to find out, you know, the oldest cities. And languages, complex languages go back about that period of time, and that's it. So there's just this overwhelming evidence that the timeline of the Bible matches the timeline of human history and experience, and it matches science also, that the Earth and the solar system are young.
So wouldn't that disprove the Ice Age theory?
Well, there was ice on the Earth But the interesting thing is that the secular scientist, the evolutionist, the evolutionary geologist, they can't figure out how the ice got on the continents. Because for there to be 100 feet or hundreds of feet of ice covering, you know, a number of the continents, millions of square miles, you need this enormous amount of precipitation. You need water to evaporate from the oceans and come down on the continents in the form of snow, sleet, and ice, hail. But it's only going to come down in the form of ice and snow if it's really cold. But if it's really cold, you're not going to get a lot of evaporation out of the oceans. To get that much evaporation, according to, you know, evolutionary scientists, it has to be really hot for the for that much water to evaporate out of the oceans. But then if it's that hot, it's not going to freeze and cause an ice age. It's only by the catastrophic event of the flood, of Noah's flood, that you could account for the billions of tons of coal and the countless billions of barrels of oil that are under the earth and the sedimentary deposits all over the earth and the ice that had formed and so many other things that are only accounted for by what, how the Bible describes what happened with Noah's flood. So, Keisha, I don't have any doubt that Frank is a Christian. I'm sure he's a Christian. But, you know, Christians want to be accepted. They want to be accepted just like the Christians who will support a politician who's pro-abortion in some instances. He supports killing some kids. And so a Christian wants to be accepted, so they support the pro-abortion politician because they want to feel like they have a say at the table. So, and I think the same thing happens with science. They don't want to, you know, the Bible says you should be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And you shouldn't be ashamed of the history that the Bible presents, the science it presents, and the governing principles it presents. So, hey, Keisha, thank you so much.
Hey, so like they say it's their scientific evidence for their theory, but they don't give the evidence.
Right, the evidence. Now, you heard the debate, and that guy had a science background, and I countered every one of his very few points that he gave instantly and with very specific, concrete evidence, and my evidence was all testable, observable. You could measure it all. And he hardly made an effort. Out of about 10 different arguments, evidence I gave, he only attempted to contradict one. And he did it by obfuscation. I was talking about the magnetic field weakening, and he kept talking about reverse polarization, which are two different things.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, thank you, Keisha.
Thank you.
God bless you. All right, now we're going to go to Batavia, New York. Dan, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, good evening.
Howdy.
A couple comments. That one caller, Eric.
Yeah.
He was thinking about getting a place to go, start another government.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Jerry Brownfield.
Jerry Brownfield.
Yeah, I think he's on a Genesis Network. Literally, a bunch of Christians moved into a county, literally, in the proper procedure, took it over. They have godly councilmen, godly county commissioners, a godly sheriff. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is making sure that all the laws are in line with the Constitution. They're keeping immoral stuff out, et cetera, et cetera. So by going with the law, they actually took a county over, and that might be something for some individuals to look into.
Well, help me to understand this. If they're making sure the laws are in line with the Constitution, then they definitely can't be godly laws.
Well, no, what they're saying is the government stays within the bounds it's supposed to stay into.
Well, and, the Constitution doesn't spell out those bounds as God would.
Well, Bob, that's the law of land. We're supposed to obey the law, aren't we?
You're not supposed to let's say you lived in Rome.
Right.
And the Romans, it was legal to take a baby you didn't want and leave him outside the city walls so that he would die by exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were a Christian back then, you shouldn't defend the laws of Rome because we're supposed to obey the laws. You have an obligation to know what is right and then never to support than never to support laws that are wrong.
Okay. But anyhow, with this county, Bob,
yeah.
they're trying to do stuff that is moral, that is supposed to be within the certain principles, and it sounds like a very good idea. In fact, they get like, I think it's like 35 or 100 people or 15,000 people. And it's just a bunch of Christians that says, look, let's move into this county. Let's try to get the right people elected, ones with principles and morals, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that might be something this Eric could look into.
Yeah.
Secondly, that Frank guy, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but I have a degree in biology. I always thought that man was just an animal, that an unborn child was a piece of tissue. I believe in evolution.
Hmm.
But on February 6, 1978, at Fredonia State College, I had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. I was born again. And what happened was all that went out the window. And the truth and the facts of the Bible became so real to me that
Praise God. I can't say
the earth is a billion years old. Like you were saying, if we follow the Bible, even by generations, from Adam to Noah, from Noah to, I don't know if it was David, we could find out that the earth is not billions of years old.
Well, right. And then just the scientific evidence, the debate last night, it's just uncanny. When I get to debate people who it's, you know, it's their hobby or they have a science background or it's an anthropologist or whoever, and just an ignorant, you know, Bible pastor has a debate, typically the Bible pastor wipes out the scientist because the scientist believes in things that are not true, and therefore the simplest evidence just completely baffles him.
Right. You know, but Bob, once you have a personal encounter with Jesus, I mean, how could you deny, you know that? I mean, how could you deny that the reality of him
well,
not
well,
being
wait,
told?
Frank, hey, Dan,
yeah.
You should take that back.
Why is this?
Because Frank was a Christian. He's a born-again Christian. He was.
Then he needs to be taught, I think, a little more properly. Because,
well, I agree, but he did have a personal encounter with Jesus.
Uh-huh.
You know, Judas had a personal encounter with Jesus. Of course, he went to hell. But Peter had a personal encounter. He denied Christ.
Uh-huh.
Even decades later, after Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul rebuked him for being a hypocrite and being untruthful about the gospel in Galatians 2.
Gosh, you know,
so having a personal relationship with Jesus does not mean that an argument or your ideas are going to be right. Christians have the ability to be blithering idiots.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that or no?
At times, yeah. But, you know, myself, you know, when you see Christ, he spoke and the storm stopped. You know, it's just like saying if God speaks, it happens. It doesn't take billions of years.
Hey, Dan, I'm not accepting what... Okay, all right.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course, right. And I think Frank would agree that Jesus had the ability to create everything instantly. But he's been deceived by, you know, the overwhelming public opinion of the scientific elite community that refuses to look at evidence.
He needs to keep his nose in the Word.
Well, I don't know how much he studies the Bible, but I'd rather he study science on this issue.
Uh-huh. Oh,
what do you think?
No, I'll tell you what. I'd rather study the Bible and science nowadays.
Well, I mean for this issue.
This issue?
If he believes the earth is old and it's really only a few thousand years old, he thinks it's billions of years old, he'll be better off studying science. Because then he'll see overwhelming scientific evidence that the earth is young.
Yeah.
I mean, if he studies, let's say, the parable of the lost sheep, it's not going to tell him how old the earth is.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying look at the physical factors that are expressed in the Bible.
All right, we got to go,
okay.
Dan. Thank you. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.